Chapter 14. Tai 2. And at last I hear the rain. The rest of the Olympics is a bit of a giddy, drunken blur. Between sleeping, eating, and partying, Wei Wuxian loses track of time altogether. His only other worry is cheering up his shirty. Apparently, Mian Mian had fled their room just before Jiang Cheng woke and is currently ghosting his texts. Wei Wuxian tries to push him in the direction of some other athletes and parties, but Jiang Cheng just keeps returning from them empty-handed. So, after a while, he gives up. "Your brother is absolute rubbish at pulling," the British gymnast declares on the morning of the closing ceremony. Wei Wuxian laughs, rubbing at his nape as he tries not to look over at where Lan Wangji is eating yet another cornetto. "You know, the night's growing old, and I just want to shag," and instead, he takes out his mobile and tries to show me dog photos. "My brother can be a little confused about what women want," Wei Wuxian says. She snorts. "Confused is one thing. Your brother's on an entirely different level." She reaches over, patting his forearm. "And you've mended things between yourself and Wang Ji, right? I've seen you two spending a little more time together now." Wei Wuxian smiles and nods, though the truth is a bit more complicated. While he has spent some time with Lan Wangji in the past couple of days, they hadn't repeated the night after finals. Not that Wei Wuxian's counting or paying attention. He's still reeling from the prospect of dinner, an evening without the specter of competition, just the two of them as ordinary people. "Pity," the gymnast sighs. "I guess that puts you on the straight and narrow. Unless, you know, he's not unwelcome to the concept of a party." "You did mention an interest in comp cult sandwiches," says Wei Wuxian. The gymnast's cheeks flush at that. "You might need to find some other competitors, though. Lan Wangji is off the market." She raises an eyebrow. "I just asked if you'd share," she points out. "Oh, no, it's not like that," Wei Wuxian shakes his head. "I'm just a friend." "A friend." The word is slow, disbelieving. "No benefits?" "Many benefits." But Wei Wuxian suspects if he says that, he'll probably cause some sort of minor cataclysm on the internet. So he shrugs instead and returns his attention to his burger. He's never eating McDonald's if he can help it. Ever again. The closing ceremony itself is half forgotten in a drunken stupor. Wen Niang and his gaggle of teenage Olympians are the only ones sober for it, as fireworks shoot into the air and sporting bigwigs make speeches about unity and peace. Wei Wuxian, on the other hand, is more interested in checking out of the village and heading to their hotel in Old Town Chai. They're spending a couple of extra days in the city for proper sightseeing, as bar hopping around Chai Chow district isn't really the best way to take in what the city has to offer. Old Town Chai, or Guchai, is the site of the original water town and marketplace. Most of the buildings have been rebuilt and refurbished over the years, with precious little of the original stone and mortar left. Instead of houses, they now serve as hotels, shops, and restaurants, catering mostly to tourists trying to get photos of the old-style buildings. "It's a different style from the new town, isn't it?" wonders Jiang Yan Li, as they drop off their luggage in their adjoining rooms. Down on the pavement below, crowds of tourists swarm shops and tea houses, while fleets of tour boats line the nearby canals. "Yeah, no skyscrapers here," says Jiang Cheng, gesturing to the buildings and townhomes lining the streets. "I guess they have something against them in this part of Chai." "Oh, it's a historical district. They don't want to spoil the skyline," answers Jiang Yan Li, as her phone chimes. "Oh, Zixuan Gege wants to go to tea. Are you two interested?" "He's still in town?" demands Wei Wuxian, scowling. "How long?" "His flight leaves in a couple of days," says Jiang Yan Li. "Some business thing in New York." We can go, says Jiang Cheng. Better than sitting around moping and feeling sorry for myself. That's the spirit, says Jiang Yanli, patting him on the shoulder. Jiang Cheng rolls his eyes, but grabs his room key nonetheless. He's had a tough week, murmurs Wei Wuxian as they head downstairs. Yeah, I can tell, says Jiang Yanli. Some athlete ditch him at the village? A couple, says Wei Wuxian, shrugging. What about Zishuan Gege, huh? Can't imagine why he would want to invite all of us to tea. Jiang Yanli rolls her eyes. Because he wants to get to know you two better? Why would he ever want to do that? It's not like he's dating... Wei Wuxian pauses mid-step, and Jiang Yanli pauses with him. Wait a minute. I saw him sneaking out of the village during Ollie's. Jiang Yanli's entire face flushes red at that. Wei Wuxian claps his hands to his mouth. Oh my gods, no! Jiang Yanli suddenly seems to find the wooden whirls on the stairs much more interesting. Wei Wuxian gasps, tugging at her sleeve. You did! Unbelievable! Congratulations on the peacock, I guess? Jiang Yanli narrows her eyes. You're not allowed to threaten him, she warns. Why would I? Wonders Wei Wuxian, feigning ignorance. He's not going to be an asshole to you, is he? Jiang Yanli smacks his forearm. Ah, Yang, I can take care of myself. Wei Wuxian knows she can. If Jin Zixuan tried anything dishonorable, he'd have to reckon with her first. Please tell me you're using protection, he offers instead. And Jiang Yanli immediately hides her face in her hands. We are not having this conversation in public, she insists, just as Jiang Cheng heads back to the stairs to demand what's taking them so long. They locate the tea house pretty quickly on Baidu, and sure enough, when they arrive, Jin Zixuan is waiting for them. You two came, he says, more of a statement than anything else. Are you surprised? Wonders Jiang Cheng dryly. Jin Zixuan's cheeks flush briefly. No, I mean, when Yanli said there was a chance you two might not accept the invitation, I... never mind. Come on, I reserved a table. Where are you staying? Jiang Cheng wonders. The Grand Hotel Chai in Newtown, replies Jin Zixuan, almost matter-of-factly, as he leads them over the threshold. The tea house is traditional style, spanning multiple levels and bustling with clients. It overlooks a small park before a wide, glimmering river, with weeping willows bent over the banks on both sides. I could have you all moved over there if you would like. It would be much nicer than Guchai in terms of amenities. We're here to see Guchai, not the new town, says Wei Wuxian immediately. Jiang Yanli arches an eyebrow at him. What? It's the truth. I like to be where the action is. Ashuan, ignore him, says Jiang Yanli, rolling her eyes. We thank you for your kind offer, but we like our current hotel. She stares over at Wei Wuxian, her expression screaming, See, that wasn't so hard. Jin Zixuan looks between the two of them, before placing a hand on Jiang Yanli's forearm. We can still spend the day together, then, he says. I can have a driver come pick you up in the morning and take us places. Which takes all the fun out of traveling, says Wei Wuxian, rolling his eyes. The point of going to a new place is to try new things, right? Like how the locals experience it? People in Chai get around in cars, Jiang Cheng points out. Having a driver would be safer, considering the number of pickpockets that get drawn to cities during tourist season. Wei Wuxian sends his shirty a look of utter betrayal. Jiang Cheng rolls his eyes and buries his face behind the tea house menu. They order tea and snacks, and it comes by quickly and silently, the servers preparing the pot and serving them with soft voices and lowered gazes. Their table offers a view of the park outside, and during the course of the conversation, Wei Wuxian finds himself drifting away, focusing instead on the glimmering willow leaves and the late afternoon sunlight as they drip into the river below. Perhaps Lan Wangji has been to this tea house before, has looked out at this same vista with a cup of oolong in his hands, contemplating the beauty of nature or whatever else goes through that pretty head of his. It's remarkable how a place known to be inhabited by someone can become so quickly populated by their ghost. Wei Wuxian sees Lan Wangji in every dark-haired man in white down below, even though he knows deep down that none of them could ever compare. He's brought back to earth by Jiang Cheng's elbow.
"Stop daydreaming about Lan Wangji," rebukes his shirty, scowling.
"What? You're so obvious, it's disgusting." "Yeah, but at least I have someone to daydream about," taunts Wei Wuxian.
Jiang Cheng's scowl deepens.
"Fuck off," he says.
"He got ghosted," adds Wei Wuxian in a stage whisper to Jin Xixuan, who arches an eyebrow.
"That's rough, buddy," he says, and Wei Wuxian bursts into laughter.
"That's what I said," he chortles, patting Jiang Cheng on the back. "Honestly, Ah Cheng, maybe being forever alone will suit you better. You keep getting blacklisted anyway."
"Even with men?" wonders Jin Xixuan.
"I haven't... No!"
splutters Jiang Cheng.
"I thought the Olympics Village had everything,"
Jin Xixuan muses innocently.
"Yeah, but I didn't..."
Jiang Cheng shakes his head. "I'd have expected this sort of ribbing from Ah Ying, but you, Xixuan, this is betrayal."
"What's the point in meddling at the Olympics if you can't use it to score a date?"
Jin Xixuan pretends to check his fingernails.
"Congratulations on that, by the way. Nice to see that me being fourth can happen even with different game masters."
Wei Wuxian bristles at that.
"Look, Xixuan, just because..." "No, you three deserved it," says Jin Xixuan, shaking his head. "I didn't really do that much in the final round. I think maybe seeing Qin Su there threw me off my game a little."
"Yeah, I don't think I've seen her since juniors," says Jiang Cheng, frowning over his cup.
"I heard the situation in Lao Ling's kinda..."
Jiang Yanli glares at him, and he promptly snaps his mouth shut.
"It's all right," says Jin Xixuan, shaking his head. "My half-brother is accomplished, but he can be rather divisive without realizing it." "Oh, I think he knows he's being divisive," sighs Jiang Yanli. "He refuses to refer to his father as anything except your father. It's pretty petty, if you ask me."
Jin Xixuan's face colors at that.
"I mean, I don't blame him for that," he admits. "I just also don't talk to him either. The internet can say what it likes, but I know my half-brother got his position without family interference. In fact, I'd bet you anything if father had tried to get him the job, Jin Guangyao would have refused it."
"Weird flex, but okay," quips Wei Wuxian, just as his mobile pings with a WeChat notification. He checks it, frowning.
"Something wrong, Ah Ying?"
wonders Jiang Yanli, as she refills Jin Xixuan's teacup.
"No, it's just..."
Wei Wuxian laughs a bit, disbelieving.
"Lan Xichun friended me on WeChat."
"Lan Xichun, I've added you on WeChat. Let's talk."
"Hello."
"Hi, how did you find me?"
"Yanli sent me your contact card."
"Oh, what can I do for you, Xichun Gaga?"
"Heard you were still in town, interested in getting dinner. My treat. Bring Jiang Wenyin and Yanli, too."
"Let me ask?" "They said yes. Well, Jiang Cheng said yes. My Shuqia has plans."
"Pity. Here's the location."
Lan Xichun has shared a map.
"We have a reservation at 6:30. It's on Wujiang Road, so if you're in Guqiai, it won't be far."
"Okay, emoji."
"Oh, by the way, my brother's WeChat."
Lan Xichun has shared a contact card.
"You're welcome, smiley face."
Wei Wuxian had suspected Lan Xichun would bring his brother to dinner with him, but he's a bit surprised anyway when the server directs him to the private dining room and Lan Wangji is there.
"Jiang Wenyin, Wei Wuxian,"
Lan Xichen is all congeniality and smiles as he greets them both, shaking their hands and directing them to their seats, which he pulls out with a flick of his wrist. This is my favorite place in all of Guchai. They've preserved our family's traditional dishes perfectly. Wei Wuxian has a bad feeling about that, but he smiles nonetheless. Can't wait to eat it, he says, as the server pours them both cups of tea. It's almost medicinally strong and bitter, and he has to struggle not to cough after downing it. Lan Wangji's eyebrow twitches in amusement. Wei Wuxian makes a face at him. Do they have a menu? He asks instead. Lan Xichen waves an airy hand. I've already ordered the specials, he says. It'll be like a family feast. Wei Wuxian suspects that if the food is anything like the tea itself, the only reason this restaurant preserved the Lan family dishes is so that tourists can challenge themselves with an array of intensely bitter dishes. The bright orange fishes and savory-looking shrimp being carried to other private rooms only furthers his suspicion. In comparison, the vegetable and root soup they are served first in a black stone tureen makes even the tea itself taste sweet in comparison. Jiang Cheng almost gags upon the first sip, but he makes an even more valiant effort to save face in front of Lan Xichen, his face turning purple with his exertions. Wei Wuxian almost wants to take a picture of it. Lan Wangji and Lan Xichen, having obviously been raised on this concoction, down their bowls of soup without batting an eye. Wei Wuxian stares down at his own bowl, knowing it would make him lose face if he didn't finish. He steels himself to try another sip, and finds the bowl in front of him empty. Looking to the side, he notices Lan Wangji finishing another bowl of soup, delicately patting his mouth with a napkin as if nothing had happened. What do you think? Lan Xichen asks cheerily from across the table. Jiang Cheng's smile looks more like a grimace. Delicious, he deadpans. Wei Wuxian hides his snort with a bout of coughing and refills everyone's teacups. It goes down oddly sweeter this time. Your family does seem to find joy in adversity, he manages. Lan Xichen beams. Are the rest of the dishes just like that? Lan Xichen bursts into laughter. Oh, heavens, the look on your faces! He wheezes, before turning to his brother. Wangji, thank you for this. I haven't had this much fun in ages. Wei Wuxian makes to protest, but then the smell of something delicious hits him as the servers come in with a fish rendered golden in sweet and sour sauce, followed rapidly by crackling eels. Biluo shrimp and braised pork belly on a bed of Meigan chai. Did you really think we would subject you to an actual Lan family dinner? Wonders Lan Xichen innocently. Even we don't inflict our ancestors' cuisine on ourselves these days. Nutritionist. Lan Wangji points out dryly. Lan Xichen's smile falters. Well, during the off-season, we don't, he says, waving a hand. And when you're retired like me, you don't need to eat boiled bitter greens 3 times a day. Thank heavens. Wei Wuxian has to admit, though, Lan Xichen's physique is still amazing for someone not restricted to a nutritionist's guidelines. Jiang Cheng seems to have come to the same conclusion, based on the way he suddenly seems determined to look anywhere except in Lan Xichen's direction. Nevertheless, the dinner becomes a bit more cheerful after that. Wei Wuxian tucks into the fish without complaint, and the room fills with a warm, companionable silence as they eat. Throughout dinner, Wei Wuxian can hardly keep his eyes off Lan Wangji. Was this the dinner he'd promised? He wouldn't be too surprised, though having both of their brothers here does make the intention a little less pointed, a little less romantic. Not that Wei Wuxian was hoping for romantic, of course, but hope does have a tendency to spring up in his chest like a weed. Nevertheless, there's definitely still an undercurrent of something running between them. Like Lan Wangji is trying to tell him something in a language he doesn't understand, or trying to show him a painting while he's blindfolded. I'm not yours, but I want to be yours. Wei Wuxian's only distantly aware of his name being called. He straightens up, watching Lan Wangji refill his teacup before tapping the lazy Susan in thanks.
Yeah? He asks, as Lan Xichen tilts his head at him.
I was saying, it's a pity Jiang Yanli couldn't be here with us. You mentioned she had plans.
Yeah, Jin Xishuan's in town, too, so...
Wei Wuxian trails off, looking at Jiang Cheng. Lan Xichen hums, refilling Jiang Cheng's teacup as well.
Competitor Jin, he says, sighing. I still feel terrible for what happened to him at Baifeng. I definitely don't remember programming the Chikwe to behave like that.
The glitch? Asks Jiang Cheng, his brows knitting. Lan Xichen nods. I'd been wondering about that. Jin Xishuan says his cousin's antidote vanished the first night.
Vanished, echoed Lan Xichen, frowning.
It's not the first time something strange has happened to him, continues Jiang Cheng. A couple of times in Xinglu and Qishan, the corpses he shot wouldn't go away or give him points.
Very odd, murmurs Lan Xichen.
But he usually got those eventually, so he reckoned it was a bug in the system. The Chukwa and the vanishing antidote, though?
And the Chenyao attacking him immediately after the glitch, adds Wei Wuxian. It seemed a bit odd to me that they would single him out.
Well, he did very well at the Olympics, says Lan Xichen, his expression thoughtful. Fourth place, after you three.
He inclines his head.
I know there has been some frustration regarding the scoring, but I can assure you I did not manipulate anyone's technical bonuses, not even my brother's.
Wei Wuxian smiles.
I wouldn't think of it, he replies. Lan Chan wins these competitions on his own merit, right?
Lan Wangji looks down at his teacup.
And so do you, he replies.
Wei Wuxian beams and pats his hand. Lan Wangji's arm twitches, but he doesn't actually flinch away. Lan Xichen steeples his fingers.
Well, thank you all for bringing these issues to me, he says. I'll look into it and let you know what I find out.
Do you think it's someone manipulating the game from outside the command center?
Asks Wei Wuxian. You know, like what I asked about back at Lotus Pier?
Manipulation? Lan Xichen's expression grows pained. I would hope not. That'd be a deliberate violation of everything this game stands for. It'd be like the demonic path, says Lan Wangji. Yes, like that, back in the old days.
Lan Xichen shudders.
Let's not think too much about it, all right? Finish your food, and let's go wander around Wuchang Road for a bit. The night scenery is particularly beautiful.
Wangxian fans. Scream emoji! They're in hashtag Guchai together! Hashtag Wangxian!
Quoted text. At Weibo Wi-Fi. Hashtag Crab Ro Tongbao. Hashtag Gusu. Hashtag Delicious. Hashtag Wujiang Road. Hashtag Lan Wangji. Video. Wei Wuxian's hand extends a giant crab roe tong bao with a straw stuck in it towards Lan Wangji, who makes a couple token protest moves before finally pressing his lips to the straw. Wujiang Road, as one of the old-style roads renovated to cater to tourists, runs along an old canal through the heart of the old town. Willow trees dip thin green leaves into the water, while on the banks, bright lights bedazzle the railings of walkways and bridges. Wei Wuxian can barely restrain himself from wandering into every shop he sees. From bright silks to jade to porcelain, each shop is bursting with marvelous curios and souvenirs. In some of them, there's even entertainers arrayed in the traditional white robes of the Lan family, studiously playing instruments for clients and visitors.
Tourist fair, says Lan Xichen, waving a hand. Very few of them are actually cultivators, and even fewer train at our family's school. They just play guqin or pipa well enough to sing kun chu.
Gusu-style opera,
adds Lan Wangji.
Do either of you ever get asked to perform? Wonders Tiang Cheng.
Plenty of times, Lan Xichun laughs. But Wangji and I are both unfortunately very busy. We both have sponsors to please.
We perform at Ten Lion Rock for mid-autumn,
adds Lan Wangji.
It is a family tradition.
Ten Lion Rock?
Echoes Jiang Cheng, his expression contorting as he tries to work his tongue around the words.
Which sadistic fuck thought of that name?
Well, according to the writings of our founder, Lan An,
begins Lan Xichun, but at the obvious mortification on Jiang Cheng's face, he bursts out laughing and shakes his head.
I jest again, Jiang Wanyin. Ten Lion Rock is supposed to look like ten lions, hence the name.
I still do not think it looks like ten lions,
says Lan Wangji.
Perhaps if you were blind, it would.
This argument has divided our entire family,
adds Lan Xichun.
Whether Ten Lion Rock actually looks like ten lions, or if it's supposed to have gotten its name from something else.
Wangji is convinced some cultivator defeated ten lions at the rock, hence the name.
There are historical documents,
begins Lan Wangji, but Lan Xichun shakes his head.
If we wanted to bore our guests with discourse over the origins of Ten Lion Rock's name, we could have just invited them to one of Uncle's Mahjong nights.
At that moment, they pass through a series of food stalls selling different types of snacks, and Lan Xichun's expression lights up.
Crab roe tongbao. Wangji, remember how much you loved these when you were a kid?
Wei Wuxian wonders if it's a trick of the light, or if Lan Wangji's ears had flushed red at his brother's words. They look like large xiaolongbao, he remarks, staring at them longingly. Lan Wangji purses his lips.
They are, he says, but bigger and filled with crab.
Sold, says Wei Wuxian, immediately ordering one. However, before he can even whip out his phone to pay for it, Lan Wangji has beaten him to the punch.
Lan Chan, come on!
You are my guest,
says Lan Wangji simply. Lan Xichun grins and turns to Jiang Cheng.
Would you also like one?
Jiang Cheng shakes his head. I'm allergic, he says, before wandering over to sample some pork jerky.
He's not,
Wei Wuxian mutters to Lan Wangji, who merely raises an eyebrow in amusement.
Okay, how do you eat this?
You drink the soup with the straw,
replies Lan Wangji. Wei Wuxian tries a little and almost gets scalded for his troubles. They spend the rest of the evening wandering in and out of shops and trying different foods at different stalls. But almost every time Wei Wuxian goes to the cashier, he finds out that Lan Wangji has already covered it for him. By the time the shops along the street begin to close, Wei Wuxian has done all of his souvenir shopping without having spent any of his own money.
This is embarrassing for me,
he declares, as he and Lan Wangji wait for Lan Xichun and Jiang Cheng to catch up. Apparently, the two of them have been sampling fruit wines and variants on Emperor's Smile at one of the stores, and Lan Xichun has gotten more and more giddy with each cup. Jiang Cheng, too, is swaying a little by the time they reach them.
I have my own Alipay. I really shouldn't oblige you like this.
You are my guest,
repeats Lan Wangji.
But half of these purchases aren't even things for me,
protests Wei Wuxian. Lan Wangji's mouth twitches in a way that, on another person, would have probably been a shrug. Wei Wuxian's stomach flutters unexpectedly at that.
Well, it's getting late,
declares Lan Xichun.
Where are you two staying again? We should escort you.
It's no matter,
dismisses Wei Wuxian, even as Jiang Cheng lurches over his shoulder.
We're in walking distance of Wuqiang Road, I think, past that weird temple.
Oh, you mean our primary school?
Lan Xichun claps his hands.
Our mother always said it looked more like a temple than a school.
At this point, I can't tell if you're joking or not,
Wei Wuxian mutters.
He was serious, says Lan Wangji. Wuqiang Primary was built in the architectural style of the ancient cloud recesses and enforced a similar academic rigor. It was the only school our uncle approved of.
We can still walk you two to your hotel, then, continues Lan Xichen, as Wei Wuxian starts retracing their steps along the bank. The lights along the avenue flicker out as shops and stalls close down for the night, but the street lamps still cast the tourist road with a friendly golden glow. Once they hit the street, Jiang Cheng sways harder against Wei Wuxian, almost causing him to topple over. Lan Wangji quickly puts an arm around Wei Wuxian's waist to steady him. Wei Wuxian turns, flushes like a flustered schoolgirl. They pass Wuqiang Primary's front gates, and Wei Wuxian tries to imagine a little Lan Wangji going to school there. Yunmeng's school children wore silver bells and purple tassels. What did Gusu's school children wear?
Blue neckerchiefs,
says Lan Wangji. Wei Wuxian blinks and realizes he'd said his question aloud.
Wuqiang Primary had an all-white uniform as well.
You really have never worn another color in your life, huh? Says Wei Wuxian. Lan Wangji huffs at that. At the doors to the lobby of their hotel, however, Jiang Yanli is already there with Jin Xishuan.
Oh, Ah Cheng, what did the Lans do to you?
She teases as Jiang Cheng flops into her arms.
We sampled some wines, says Lan Xichen.
Lots and lots of samples,
agrees Jiang Cheng, pouting.
I'm tired. I want to sleep.
We'll get you in bed, stupid, says Jiang Yanli, rolling her eyes. Jin Xishuan reaches out to help her support her brother.
Ah Ying, you coming up, or is the night still young?
Wei Wuxian blinks and looks between them and the Lan brothers.
Are you two going somewhere else? He wonders.
Just back home, says Lan Xichen. Though we wouldn't mind if you came for a nightcap, right, Wangji? He elbows his brother, whose cheeks are now also faintly pink.
Alcohol is forbidden at the cloud recesses,
mutters Lan Wangji.
You know I still have the permit from the moon-watching party, says Lan Xichen, rolling his eyes. There's a snifter of brandy and a lot of paperwork calling my name, brother dearest. We can't stay here gawking at your friend for too long.
Lan Wangji looks as if he'd like to shove his brother for that comment, but then clears his throat.
You are welcome to have tea with us, he says, as alcohol is forbidden.
Lan Xichen's expression screams of, God, my brother's adorable.
We can call you a Didi back here if you'd like, he adds.
Wei Wuxian shrugs and steps back towards them. I'll call if something comes up then, he asks Jiang Yanli, who waves cheerily at him in reply.
Good night, Ah Yang, she teases, before the three of them head into the hotel lobby.
Wei Wuxian turns towards the Lans, who are headed further down the pavement.
Where are we going now? He asks.
Metro stop, says Lan Wangji, leading the way.
It's slightly drizzling by the time they emerge from the blue line stop at the cloud recesses, and in the light of the street lamps, the shadows of the apartment community in the distance tower like some unknown behemoth. This part of town is a little more quiet, but no less populated. Here the streets are well paved, the avenues carefully lined with manicured trees. The stores are all upscale and modern, and it seems every single corner boasts either a coffee shop or a bookstore, or both.
Ha ha, of course the cloud recesses would be on the blue line, says Wei Wuxian,
as they cross the street before the gates leading up to the main apartment community.
Is that how you first learnt your name, Lan Chan?
Lan Wangji huffs.
No,
he says. Wei Wuxian laughs.
Sure,
he says. Lan Xichen scans a QR code with his phone, and the pedestrian gate slides open with a small beep.
I've got to pick up a package, he says, gesturing to some parcel lockers just inside the gate.
Won't you be a dear and bring our guest up, hmm?
And
Lan Wangji sets off down the garden path
and Wei Wuxian quickly follows. He soon realizes this community is much larger than he initially thought, especially as it borders a larger park with several ponds and a small lake. Several small traditional-style buildings and pagodas are scattered through the park as well, their forms elegant even under the harsh streetlights.
"The Cloud Recesses Garden,"
says Lan Wangji, when Wei Wuxian stops to take photos.
"They are what is left of the Lan family ancestral home. Most of us live in these buildings now."
He gestures to the more modern high-rises, bordering the garden.
"So we can maintain the park and the library still."
"Aren't those gardens a tourist destination?" asks Wei Wuxian. Lan Wangji nods.
"The residential and tourist parts are separated by guard towers. There are also strict rules for tourists in the gardens."
They wander through a small park with a little river trickling into a pool of golden carp. In the dark, a rabbit peeks out from behind one of the bushes.
"Parking is only allowed underground to maintain the beauty of the surface."
Wei Wuxian snorts. "People who aren't your family willingly adhere to these rules?" he wonders.
"It is the most exclusive postcode in East Asia,"
replies Lan Wangji. Wei Wuxian has to concede that argument. People would do anything for exclusivity. They stop in front of a building marked with the number 1. Lan Wangji scans a code with his phone as well, and the lock clicks open almost silently. He lets Wei Wuxian inside before summoning the lift. Once inside, he scans another code, and the lift immediately begins to take them up.
"It knows what floor you're on?"
demands Wei Wuxian. Lan Wangji hums in agreement before gesturing towards a pad clearly meant for scanning a keycard or token.
"You need verification to go in and out,"
he says. Wei Wuxian has to admit that's a little creepy. The lift finally reaches the top, depositing them in a spotless landing. There's only one front door. The other is a glass door leading out to a vast roof patio with its own carefully curated garden.
"Brother's garden,"
says Lan Wangji, nodding towards the glass door.
"He has his moonwatching and Tanhua parties there."
"Your brother has Tanhua parties?"
states Wei Wuxian.
"And plum blossom viewings,"
replies Lan Wangji, scanning his thumbprint at the door to unlock it. It swings open to a vast, open space. Lan Wangji flicks on the lights, and Wei Wuxian's breath is taken away. The apartment is simple, borderline minimalist, with sleek tile flooring and carefully curated furniture. It almost looks like something out of an interior design magazine, except there's still an element of lived-in-ness in the coats hanging on the wall and the neat array of shoes by the door. Wei Wuxian steps out of his trainers, wiggling his toes against the floor.
"It's heated,"
he remarks in surprise. Lan Wangji nods, already crossing the living space towards the open kitchen. Wei Wuxian has a sneaking suspicion neither of the Lan brothers cook a lot. As the kettle brews, Wei Wuxian looks through the display shelves, admiring the well-worn book spines, the porcelain and jade figurines, and the family photos. There's even baby photos here, and Wei Wuxian can't help but chuckle at the difference between the two brothers. Lan Xichen grins widely and toothily up at the cameras, interacting with the toys spread on the blanket next to him, while Lan Wangji merely stares forward, impassive and untouchable.
"It's like you were born stoic,"
Wei Wuxian jokes, looking at a family photograph of the two brothers and their parents. It's pretty clear Lan Wangji gets most of his looks from his mother, though Lan Xichen had inherited her smile. "Are your parents doing well?" Lan Wangji, who had been filling a teapot with leaves, freezes at the question. Wei Wuxian immediately steps away from the pictures, turning his attention instead to a watercolor painting of what is probably the ancient Cloud Recesses. He pretends to examine it until he feels a brief tap on his shoulder. Lan Wangji leads him back through the entry to a door just past the coats and shoes. He unlocks it with a small key, and Wei Wuxian steps inside to see a small shrine, alongside black and white photographs of Lan Wangji's parents. "Oh," he says, sinking to his knees before the altar. "I'm so sorry, Lan Chan. I didn't realize."
"It was on my Wikipedia page,"
Lan Wangji points out. Wei Wuxian chuckles ruefully. "Yeah, but I read that a couple years ago and promptly forgot." Spying an incense box, Wei Wuxian raises an eyebrow as he reaches for it. Lan Wangji nods, so Wei Wuxian takes out three sticks, lights them with some spiritual energy, and places them in the holder. He then bows before Mr. and Mrs. Lan, and Lan Wangji kneels beside him to light his own incense and greet his parents. "What happened, if I may ask?" Wei Wuxian asks, when Lan Wangji rises from his prostration. Lan Wangji looks up at their photographs, his face handsome in the light from the low lamps of the shrine.
"My mother had an incurable illness," he says. "My father could not cope with her passing, and followed her shortly after. Our uncle has raised us most of our lives."
"My parents passed too," says Wei Wuxian, looking back up at the photographs. "The wrong place at the wrong time, with the wrong cultivation sect. I fended for myself for several months after, until Mr. Jiang Cheng's dad, found me."
"People who do not care about you do not stop to critique your form," murmurs Lan Wangji, nodding.
Wei Wuxian sighs. "You're much better at this orphan thing than I am," he jokes, before bowing to the Lan parents again, just in case he offended them. "I mean, you're accomplished, successful, crazy smart.
Beautiful, kind, surprisingly funny."
The longing coils again, tight in his chest, burning ever so soft, like the faint glow on the end of an incense stick.
"You're not mine, but I wish you were."
The sound of the kettle whistling from the kitchen causes Lan Wangji to rise and exit abruptly. Wei Wuxian follows, watching as Lan Wangji finishes preparing their tea. The smell of oolong drifts through the apartment, complemented by the sound of the rain hitting the wide windows and sliding glass doors.
"Those family photos of you and your brother have both of you with long hair,"
Wei Wuxian suddenly remembers as he sips at the tea Lan Wangji pours for him.
"When did Lan Zichen cut his hair?"
"After our parents' deaths,"
said Lan Wangji.
"And you didn't do the same?"
wonders Wei Wuxian. Lan Wangji lowers his head.
"I was very young at the time,"
he admits, before downing his tea to avoid explaining further. Wei Wuxian doesn't want to pry further, so he turns his attention to the light glancing off the raindrops running along the glass door, and drinks his tea. Excerpt from The Lan Dynasty, The Cultivation of Chai's Prosperity by Robert Leung. While Gusu was precedent enough to adopt the oncoming tide of Western culture in order to avoid the same humiliating domination of the new foreign powers suffered by neighboring countries, such as Qishan and Lanling, on one aspect of their traditional culture they refused to budge, cutting their hair. The long locks of a Lan cultivator signified good fortune and honor, while the cutting of one's hair meant said cultivator had suffered some terrible misfortune or lost their honor in some way. Nowadays, the Lan family is not so adherent to the long hair tradition, nor do its members have to cut their hair for such things as going bankrupt or suffering a family death. Nevertheless, many of the younger Lan family members still choose to keep their hair long, regardless of their gender, and then cut it upon entering university or getting married to signify they have finally come of age. Lan Zichen's arrival disrupts Wei Wuxian from his window gazing.
"Oolong again, Wangji."
"Mm."
Lan Wangji pours him a cup and pulls out his chair.
Lanzi Chen takes his seat with a grateful tap of the tea tray.
You took a while with the package.
I had some trouble with the code.
Lanzi Chen sighs.
Anyway, Wei Wuxian, how are you liking our little home?
It's spacious, says Wei Wuxian. Jiang Fengmian and Madame Yu were fortunate enough to have a single-family house in Lotus Pier. But that house still feels much more crammed and chaotic than this. The view outside the windows alone shows the high status the Lan brothers enjoy in Gusu. But Wei Wuxian can't help but wonder if that loftiness equates all too easily with loneliness. Lan Wangji's mobile rings at that moment, and he excuses himself to go take it. Lanzi Chen waits until the sliding glass doors to the back patio close, before setting down his teacup to fix the full brunt of a brotherly glare at Wei Wuxian. The sudden switch from congeniality to protectiveness throws him for a curve. Wei Wuxian's stomach plummets, and he vaguely wonders if he should try to get his affairs in order.
I can smell the incense, so I assume my brother has introduced you to our parents, begins Lanzi Chen, which, of course, means you know he is all I have left of them.
Wei Wuxian remembers Mrs. Lan's cold beauty, perfectly preserved in Lan Wangji's face. He nods.
My brother was too young to understand death when our mother passed, says Lan Xichen, no trace of mirth left in his eyes as he continues to stare at Wei Wuxian. All he knew was that suddenly there were no more monthly trips to the hospital, and father had locked himself in his rooms and wouldn't come out. All of this was before Chai got its metro lines, so he bought a ticket by himself and rode the bus to the hospital to see our mother. Something terrible and sad rises in Wei Wuxian's throat, prickles at his eyes. Lan Xichen's fingers run along the edge of his teacup. Uncle and I searched for him for hours before the hospital called. We found him sleeping in her empty bed, tear tracks fresh on his face. He sighs. I don't tell you this story just to embarrass him, but because I want to impress upon you exactly what you are playing with here. My brother's heart is deeper than the ocean, more vast than the horizon. If you break it... He trails off, taking a sip of his tea. Wei Wuxian glances sidelong at the bookshelf that holds Lan Xichen's Xiao and sword and shudders. Against his better judgment, he seems to think you are what makes him happy, says Lan Xichen, after a moment. And all I want is my brother's happiness.
Wei Wuxian wishes it was true that it was him. But before he could say anything, the door to the patio opens again, and Lan Wangji walks back in.
My apologies,
he says, before looking between the two of them.
Dada, please.
What? Wonders Lan Xichen, all grins and smiles again.
I was telling our guest here some silly stories of yourself as a kid. Oh, how could I forget that time with the red bean paste?
It is getting late, interrupts Lan Wangji. We have a guest room, or should we call you a Didi?
I suppose I'll have to save the red bean paste story for another day,
laments Lan Xichen.
I do have so much work left to do.
He finishes his tea with a smile.
Thank you for this, Wangji.
Lan Wangji inclines his head. As Lan Xichen disappears through the study doors and leaves the two of them alone at the dining table, Wei Wuxian refills their cups and sighs.
You know, if you wanted me to stay, I wouldn't mind, he says. You could do whatever you'd like. It'd only be fair, since you paid for all that food and stuff from earlier.
Lan Wangji surveys him over the rim of his cup.
You do not need to repay me, he says, and certainly not in that way.
I'm just...
Wei Wuxian rubs at his eyes, feeling his cheeks and ears burning. The offer is there, Han Guanjun, if you want it. I know our last time was... If you were concerned about hurting me, I don't mind if it's you. I don't mind at all.
Slowly, with trembling fingers, Lan Wangji sets down his teacup.
Reaching out, he takes Wei Wuxian's hand and presses a kiss to his knuckles.
I do not want to oblige you to stay, he says, and I do not wish to take advantage of this offer.
Of you, his eyes seem to add, which makes Wei Wuxian's traitorous heart skip a beat. But the person you wrote that song for, he mumbles stupidly. Lan Wangji actually chuckles at that, slightly rueful, but endearing to Wei Wuxian all the same.
The title of that song, he says quietly, is Forgetting Envies.
Wei Wuxian is lost for words, for thought, for breath, as Lan Wangji gently lets his hand fall back to the table before rising from his chair.
The guest room is next to the study, he adds, at the door to his own room. Good night, Wei Ying.
And as the door to his room clicks shut, Wei Wuxian is left staring at the raindrops falling against the glass, still reeling.